Welcome to this deep dive strategy session. We are your team at MyPay Advisor. I am your analyst, and joining me is our senior payments advisor.
Hey there, really good to be here.
Yeah, so today we are framing our conversation directly to you. This session is tailored specifically for the U.S. merchant, you know, the operator who is processing anywhere between $25,000 and $5,000 in monthly card volume.
Right. That is our exact target audience today.
Yeah.
And I think we need to anchor this conversation immediately to a very large, you know, a very painful number.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So if you look at the 2025 Nilson report, the total credit and debit card fees paid by merchants to processors hit $198
billion.
Yeah, billion with a B.
I mean, when you hear a massive number like that, your first instinct as a business operator is to figure out how to, you know, claw some of that margin back.
Exactly. You want your piece.
Right. You start looking for a cheaper processing rate. You want to switch providers. But then you run straight into the painful reality of this industry.
The brick wall.
Yeah, the brick wall. Switching processors often forces multi-location operators to write off $30,000 to $80,000 in stranded equipment.
It is a massive penalty.
Oh.
I mean, think about it. When you build a physical storefront, you expect the foundation to be permanent. You pour the concrete and it stays put.
Right, obviously.
But if you decide to change your plumbing or, you know, your electrical provider, you don't have to tear down the entire building to do it. You just swap out the connection at the meter.
Exactly. It is a modular system. But then you look at the payment terminal sitting right there on your checkout counter, and suddenly that modular logic just, well, it just disappears.
It vanishes completely.
Yeah. We are looking at a technology stack that seems flexible on the surface, but is actually poured in solid concrete. And that brings us to our mission for today.
Let's lay it out.
We are unpacking the 2026 Operator Guide on Hardware Lock-In. We are going to cover the three layers of processor lock-in, the five patterns of financial damage, the actual operator math of a 10-year break-even, and finally, the specific playbook you need to execute this week.
So let's get right into the architecture of the acquiring stack.
Yeah.
Because to understand why a $1,500 Clover Station or a $700 Toast Flex turns into a literal paperweight the day you change processors, well, you really have to look under the hood.
Right. It is not just magic.
No. And it isn't just corporate greed either.
Yeah.
It is baked right into the technology. We are talking about the three layers of hardware lock-in.
Yeah.
And that starts with the technical layer.
Okay, let's unpack that. I am looking at a piece of plastic and glass on my counter. Physically, why can't I just, you know, plug it into a new network?
Because of the PCI PON security standard. So every single card-present terminal must have encryption keys injected into it before it can accept a payment.
Okay.
And these keys, they're derived from the specific acquirer's base derivation key. Plus, they have to be loaded at a highly regulated certified key injection facility.
I want to stop you right there, actually, because this sounds a lot like buying a smartphone that is locked to a specific telecom network. You know, you buy a phone from one carrier, and if you try to switch to another carrier, the cell towers just reject it.
That is a fair comparison, definitely. But, well, the reality for payment terminals is significantly worse than a locked smartphone.
Wait, how is it worse?
Well, if you have a locked phone, you can usually call the carrier, ask for an unlock code, and swap out the SIM card right at your kitchen table. You cannot do that with a payment terminal.
Why not? I mean, why can't they just send an update over the internet and unlock it?
Because these machines have physical tamper-evident security meshes built into them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, if someone tries to open the case to mess with the hardware, the terminal actually wipes its own memory. So to change the encryption keys, the hardware requires physical shipping back to a certified key injection facility.
Just to get a complete re-injection.
Exactly. A terminal that is injected for Fiserv simply will not decrypt a card swipe for Worldpay and vice versa. It is physically impossible.
All right, so physically, my machine's encryption is tied to the processor. But let's say I just buy a generic machine off Amazon. I own it outright, not the processor. I can just connect that to my point of sale, right?
You would think so.
Hmm.
But that brings us to the second barrier, the software layer.
Okay.
Even if you own the hardware, several major point-of-sale vendors run proprietary operating systems. We're talking about devices from companies like, you know, Clover, Toast, and Square.
Right.
These operating systems are hard-coded to only authenticate to their parent network.
Wait, so even if I manage to physically ship the device back, have it wiped, and change the encryption keys, it still wouldn't work?
Correct. The firmware on the device itself will refuse to communicate with a new payment gateway. It is a completely closed loop.
It just blocks you.
Pretty much. Mm. The software looks for its parent processor, and if it doesn't see it, it just shuts down the transaction. You get an error screen.
Okay, so the machine refuses to talk to anyone else on a technical level and on a software level, but surely if I am unhappy with my processor, I can just cancel my contract, return the hardware, and walk away.
Well,
which I am guessing brings us to the third layer, the contract layer.
Yes, and this is where it really hits your bank account. The contract layer is the financial trap. Equipment is very often financed through third-party companies.
Okay.
You will see names like First Data Global Leasing or Northern Leasing on the fine print. And these are typically non-cancelable 48-month agreements.
Let me ask a pointed question about this. Right. We know the system is highly regulated.
Right? Very heavily regulated, yeah.
The Federal Reserve literally tracks these card-present terminals in their triennial payment study. Visa publishes the exact rules for merchant identification in their Visa Core rules.
Right.
So if the industry is this heavily tracked, why do operators constantly think that closing their processing account automatically cancels their hardware lease?
Because of the massive disconnect at the sales table.
How so?
Well, picture a salesperson sitting across from you. They hand you a bundle of papers and say they are setting up your new merchant services account. You sign the paperwork to get your processing rate, and then you sign for the hardware.
Right. It feels like one package.
Exactly. To you, the merchant, it feels like one single unified transaction.
But legally, it isn't?
Not at all.
Yeah.
Legally, you just signed a processing agreement with an acquiring bank and, well, a completely separate non-cancelable finance lease with a third-party leasing company.
Wow.
And that lease is almost always secured by a personal guarantee from you, the business owner. So when you call the processor to cancel your account, they close the processing side.
But the hardware lease is still alive.
Right. The leasing company still holds your personal guarantee for the remaining 48 months of hardware payments.
That is just brutal. So now that we understand how the terminal is locked technically through software and contractually, we really need to map out exactly how that lock-in drains your bank account when you try to leave.
Let's do it.
The 2026 Operator Guide highlights five specific patterns of dollar damage. Let's walk through those.
The first pattern is that 48-month lease we just mentioned. Let's look at the standard math here.
Okay.
A typical payment terminal lease is about $89 per month for 48 months. Over the life of that contract, you are paying $4,272 for a single terminal.
Just to put that in perspective for you guys listening, you can buy a standard terminal outright for about $300. So you are paying over $4,000 for a $300 machine.
Exactly. And if you are operating a small chain with, say, a 10-terminal estate, that is over $42,000 in liability sitting directly on your personal guarantee.
Oh, man.
And if you cancel your processing, the leasing company simply points to the contract and demands the full remaining balance as liquidated damages. They don't want the hardware back, they want the cash.
But wait, I see sales reps pitching open hardware all the time. Brands like PEX or Verifone, they advertise these units as being compatible with multiple processors. Does that solve the problem?
It creates pattern number two. We call it the illusion of open hardware.
The illusion. Okay, explain that.
Even if you own a PEX or Verifone unit outright, those devices still have those processor-specific keys injected into them from that technical layer we discussed earlier.
Right, the encryption keys.
Yep. So to move them to a new processor, you face reprogramming fees ranging from $50 to $200 per unit.
Okay, honestly, $50 to $200 is annoying, but it isn't bankrupting anyone.
The fee isn't the real problem. Remember the physical security mesh.
Oh, right. You have to ship them back.
Exactly. You have to box up those terminals, ship them via FedEx to a new key injection facility, and wait for them to be reprogrammed. That means 5 to 10 business days of downtime per terminal.
10 days? You can't run a retail store or restaurant without accepting credit cards for 2 days, let alone 10 days. I mean, it is commercially impossible.
Right, you'd be out of business. Which naturally drives operators to look for solutions that don't require downtime, leading right into pattern number three.
Which is?
The free terminal trap. Every day, merchants get pitched on programs offering a quote-unquote free terminal if they switch processors.
I am guessing the hardware is never actually free.
You have to read the non-return clauses. Free hardware usually means you have a very strict 10 to 30 day window to return the equipment the moment you close your processing account.
And if you miss the window.
If you miss that window, or honestly, if the unit gets a scratch on it, you face an automatic non-return fee. Those fees typically range from $300 to $750 per device, and they are drafted directly from the business bank account you have on file.
They just pull the cash right out.
Yep.
Okay, so that is leases, open hardware illusions, and free terminal traps. What about the point of sale systems? We see this heavily in the restaurant space.
Right.
The operator guide uses Toast as a primary example.
That is pattern four, the bundled software trap. The numbers get significant here.
Yeah, let's hear them.
Toast charges $69 per location per month just for their base point of sale software. And that doesn't even include the add-ons for online ordering or payroll.
Right. And because that proprietary software only talks to their parent network, switching your payment processor means you don't just swap a card reader.
No, you lose your entire software ecosystem.
You are forcing a full point of sale migration for your entire staff.
Exactly. And pattern five is simply the accumulation of all these factors.
The total fallout.
Yeah. The hardware is eventually sold for pennies on the secondary market because the proprietary firmware just cannot be repointed to a new processor.
Wow. Well, general patterns are helpful to understand the landscape, but operators manage by the profit and loss statement. So let's look at a real-world example to see why a promised rate reduction from a new sales rep often results in massive cash flow damage.
Good idea. Let's run the exact scenario from the 2026 operator guide.
Okay, I am going to lay out the baseline numbers for you. We have an 8-location quick service restaurant.
Okay.
They are doing $400,000 in monthly card volume on a $14 average ticket. Currently, they have the Toast point of sale system at every location.
Pretty standard.
Yeah, that includes a handheld, a kitchen display, and a primary station. They purchased this hardware outright for $4,200 per location.
Got it.
Their base software is $69 per month per location. They are paying 2.49% plus 15 cents for card present processing.
Okay.
And on top of all this, they took out a Toast Capital loan. They have 24 months remaining on that loan, paying $2,800 a month across the chain.
Right. That is a very standard, highly successful regional chain setup. We see this all the time.
So a sales rep from a new regional acquirer walks in. They offer a quote that saves the operator 0.35% on their total volume. Let me do the math on that really quick.
Go ahead.
0.35% on $400,000 a month is $1,400 in savings every month. That is $16,800 a year. On the surface, as an operator, I am signing that deal today. It sounds incredibly compelling.
It sounds fantastic. Until you systematically destroy that sales pitch with the actual operator math.
Let's do it.
Let's look at the brutal reality of what happens the moment they sign that new agreement. First, the stranded hardware. They have 8 locations with hardware that cost $4,200 each.
Because it is a proprietary operating system, they cannot take it with them. So 8 locations times $4,200. Wow, that is $33,600 of equipment headed straight for the dumpster immediately.
Straight to the trash. Second penalty is the software termination. There is usually no early termination fee on the month-to-month software itself, but, you know, the entire ecosystem is gone.
They lose all their operational flow.
Right. Now, the third penalty is the massive trap, the Toast Capital loan.
Wait, how does changing processors trigger a loan penalty?
Because these merchant cash advances are collected as a fixed percentage of your daily card sales. The processor literally skims the loan payment off the top of your daily batch before depositing the rest in your bank.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, if you move your daily sales volume to a new processor, the lender can no longer collect their money. This automatically triggers a default clause. The loan typically accelerates, meaning the full remaining balance comes due instantly.
Okay, let me calculate that. They have 24 months remaining at $2,800 a month. That is $67,200 owed the very day they switch processors.
Instantly due. And they still need to ring up customers the next morning, so they have to buy new hardware.
Obviously.
They need new semi-integrated terminals and new third-party point-of-sale software.
Right.
Let's budget $1,200 per location for the new hardware.
So $1,200 times 8 locations is another $9,600 in new hardware costs.
Right.
Let's subtract the $16,800 in processing savings, and the net cost to switch in year one is $93,600 out of pocket.
It is a staggering cash flow hit that most businesses simply cannot absorb.
And it doesn't get much better in the long term, does it? Let's look at year two and beyond. You are still saving $16,800 a year in processing,
Right.
but you need to pay for that new third-party software. Let's say it is $79 per location per month. Across 8 locations, that is $632 a month. or $7,584 a year in new software costs.
So what is the actual bottom line savings for the operator over time?
Well, your $16,800 in processing savings minus the $7,584 in new software costs leaves you with a net annual savings of only $9,216.
Just over $9,000.
Think about that. You took a $93,600 hit in year one. If you divide that initial damage by your net annual savings of $9,216, the break even on this decision is over 10 years.
Over a decade, just to break even on a decision that was pitched as, you know, immediate savings.
This confirms something terrifying for operators. This hardware lock-in isn't just a hidden fee. It is a structural business moat designed to make leaving mathematically impossible.
It is the intentional architecture of the industry. The processors know that if they can tie your hardware, your software, and your business loan together, well, the processing rate becomes entirely secondary.
Because you can't leave anyway.
Right. They can charge a premium on the processing because they know the cost of leaving is a $93,000 penalty.
Okay. We have walked through the architecture and the math. Now we need to focus on what you, the operator, should actually do about it this week.
Time for the playbook.
Yeah. This is the MyPay Advisor playbook. How do we prevent this on the next purchase? Or measure the current exposure.
We have a rapid-fire action plan. First, you need to pull every single lease agreement you have in your filing cabinet.
Right.
You are looking for the leasing company name, not the processor name. You need to confirm the monthly payment, the remaining term, and the liquidated damages clause.
What do I do once I have all those numbers?
Add up your total remaining liability across all terminals. This number is your minimum cost to leave. You really cannot negotiate a new deal until you know exactly what it costs to break the old one.
Okay, so I pull my lease and calculate my liability. But how do I know if my specific terminal is permanently locked or if it can actually be reprogrammed?
That is step two. Check your terminal model against the PCI Security Standards Council approved list. You can find this list on the PCI SSC website.
Okay, and if it's there?
If your device is on the approved list, it is technically capable of running multiple acquirer profiles. However, if it is a proprietary device like a Clover Station, a Totes Flex, or a Square Register, it is not open.
It's just a brick.
Yeah, you have zero power to reprogram it.
Got it. And step three involves getting things in writing, right?
Yes. Ask your current processor for your key injection history in writing. Send them an email and ask exactly which key injection facility holds the keys for your terminals and ask whether they will release the device for reinjection.
Should I ask about fees then too?
Yes. At the same time, ask them for their per-device reprogramming fee in writing. Do not accept a verbal answer over the phone. Sales reps will tell you whatever you want to hear to keep the account. Get the fees documented.
Makes sense. Now, step four is about understanding if the switch is even worth the pain.
Right. You need to benchmark your current rates against the published Visa and MasterCard interchange schedules.
How does that help?
Well, Visa uses interchange reimbursement fees as transfer fees between acquiring banks and issuing banks. They publish these rules online for anyone to read. Your effective rate above that published interchange tells you your true markup.
So if the markup is low.
Exactly. If your processor is only making a tiny margin above interchange, enduring the pain of a hardware migration might not make mathematical sense at all.
That brings us to our final golden rule for any new deal you sign. Stop signing 48-month leases.
Please stop.
Seriously. The economics of a 48-month lease only work for the leasing company. If a standard terminal costs $300 to buy outright, buying it makes infinitely more sense than paying $89 a month for 4 years.
Which totals over $4,200.
Right. You must separate your hardware, your software, and your processing contracts. They should be three separate agreements with three separate exit clauses.
Always.
If a sales rep refuses to break them apart, you are watching the lock-in being designed right in front of you.
That is definitely the most important takeaway for any operator listening. The cheapest hardware decision is the one you make before signing the paperwork.
Yeah.
Once that lease is originated and sold to a finance company, it is functionally irrevocable.
We started this session talking about concrete foundations and structural traps. The $198 billion fee machine is built heavily on making sure your checkout counter is, well, poured in concrete. But I want to leave you with a final thought that looks a bit further down the road.
Okay, let's hear it.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we have to look at the Federal Reserve. They are actively launching instant payment networks like FedNow.
Right, instant settlement.
Exactly. And at the same time, the broader technology industry is moving aggressively toward open software standards. This raises a critical question for operators to consider today.
Which is?
How long can hardware manufacturers realistically maintain this closed proprietary ecosystem?
That is a great point.
Think about it. Will the payment terminal of 2030 just be a generic off-the-shelf tablet? If we stop relying on traditional card tracks and move entirely to real-time payments, does that render the entire concept of a key injection facility obsolete?
It is very possible. The entire architecture we just mapped out is under immense pressure from these new real-time payment rails. The structural moat might finally be drying up.
Audit your counter space today. Understand your liability, stop signing four-year leases, and prepare your business for the shift. Thank you for joining this strategy session. Take a hard look at those contracts this week.